Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. How many times have we prayed that petition during our worship service or during our personal time of prayer? How many times have we, or at least me, gone through that really quickly and thought to myself, I wonder when we're going to change that word trespass? Because how many people use it, really? The only time you see it is when? No trespassing sign, right? Yeah. I mean, do you ever see it any other time nowadays? No. If you're not trying to go and hike on someone's property or hunt on someone's property, you don't even see it. It's not part of our language. And yet we keep it because it's part of our tradition. And I'm not one to say we should try to change it. And I would pray with Jeremiah, and he's the latest of many. But when I was praying with him and I was teaching the Lord's Prayer, I was changing to the new version of forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, because he had trouble with trespasses. But I can say that he's got it now. Way to go. But, you know, it was interesting because it was such an easy change. And yet there's something about that word that there's something that connects in my mind with what it means. I don't know if it was because I was taught it growing up or what it was, but I understand what that means. There's something about that word, because it is that it's so unique, that when I say it, it really helps me to understand the importance of what it means. To forgive us our trespasses, in my mind, is more than debts. It's more than sins. When I hear forgive us our trespasses, I think you can't just limit it or try to boundaries around it or try to excuse things. How many of us have heard the word bad debts? Yeah. And how many of us have heard us say, well, you know, define sin? Society, people like to define sin, right? Well, I've never murdered anyone. I haven't told any major lies, or at least gotten caught. You know, people try to define sin. They try to say, well, I'm really not that bad. You ever noticed? But there's something about the word trespasses that really, I don't know, maybe that's why I've kept it for so long, because there's something about it that it's not easily defined away. Because when I hear it, I'm reminded, and I don't know, I think it was my confirmation teacher. I'm trying to remember who taught me this. It may have been my dad. But I remember growing up and this understanding that what if God only forgave us as we forgive others? Doesn't that make you scared? I don't know. It made an impression upon me, I could tell you. It made an impression upon me. Every time I think that, it scares me. Because how many of us can honestly say that we got this forgiveness thing down really good? And we can honestly say we forgive everyone that trespasses against us. We may get there, but how many of us can say, yep, it happens like that. I got it all under control. I'm glad I'm here because I fit in really well. That's a hard thing for us, isn't it? How many of us have dealt with sin or trespasses? Again, I like the word trespasses because, you know, it just to think about this is how many people have hurt us and they haven't got off the property? How many people have trespassed onto us in our hearts and our minds, and haven't left? Pardon me? They parked in the parking lot. Really? Where they've left an impression, and we have a hard time getting over it because they still feel like they're there. That's why I like this word, because it still feels like they're there. As a matter of fact, I know that I still have these things because when I come across a situation that's very similar to what happened to me, things happen in my mind. Any of you had that situation? Where a similar set of circumstances creates in us the same feelings and emotions that we had way, way back. Now, I only say that to help us to understand that this is going to be a lifelong journey for us, isn't it? For truly forgiving someone is going to be a lifelong journey. That's why I picked the text that you have, that you heard today, the one that Janet read from Joseph's brothers. I always find that a fascinating text. It's one of the ones in the Old Testament that I kind of put up there with Abraham arguing with God over Sodom and Gomorrah. I just think it's so interesting because it shows these leaders of the Old Testament church and their understanding of God. Because Joseph had an understanding of God when he went through all that he went through, that he understood mercy, right? He had grown in his understanding of kingdom, and he understood mercy, and it bothered him. It bothered him so much that he wept when his brothers tried to tell him he should forgive them for whose sake? For their father's sake, right? It wasn't because God forgave him and therefore he was going to forgive them. It wasn't because he already forgave them, if you remember, way back when he introduced himself to them. No, they tried to get in there and use their Joseph's love for his father as a bargaining tool so that they would, that he wouldn't turn against them because who just died? Yeah. He just died. Jacob just died. And so they're going, oh boy, what protected us before was our father. And you know why he weeps? Because he's probably thinking to himself, don't they get it? I didn't forgive them just for my father's sake. I didn't just forgive them because they asked me to forgive them. I forgave them because what they intended for evil, God intended for good. Isn't that an awesome statement? Isn't that wonderful? He understood that what they intended for evil, God had turned into good, and he wanted to forgive them. Kind of in a weird way, he was almost thankful for what they had done because through what they did, even though it was evil, God turned it around and he basically provided food for them in the midst of a terrible famine. He provided a way out and salvation for his people. Just think about this. Joseph had an understanding of God through his trials and his tribulations and his going to jail and doing all these things. He had an appreciation for God that allowed him to say, what you intended for evil, God has turned into good. And he wept because they didn't understand. And then you look at it depends on how you word this. You can Google this as the merciful king or the unmerciful servant. Kind of interesting. You'll get the same results. Depends on how you word it. But this parable is amazing, isn't it? Now, it's funny because we had an elders meeting on Wednesday, and Dr. Chad Bertlis-Krebs is going to be sharing this in Adrian in our Lenawee County site. And he was so excited because he had gone on and found out the statistics of all the terms, like what is a talent and what is a denarii and how does this compare. And he came up with some pretty amazing figures for how much this servant was forgiven by his master and how much he choked that other servant over. And depending again on whose math you go with, because it's all based on a day's wages, right? It's all based on a talent is a day's wages. So it all depends on what your day's wages is. But he came up with, I think, $10 was what he figured that the in modern day funds, what the person was. Now I've heard $3 billion. It doesn't really matter. Can you imagine if you were forgiven even $1 billion? For those of you who are wondering, that's 1,000 million, right? No, that's 100. No, 1,000 million. Yeah, what am I? Okay, now I'm questioning myself. See, that's why I didn't want to include the numbers, but he impressed me. 1,000 million dollars? Wouldn't you be impressed? Even $1 million. Where I'm at, even $100,000. Come on. I mean, wouldn't you be impressed? Wouldn't you be thankful? Wouldn't you just be overwhelmed? Especially since you went in with nothing and you begged and pleaded when they were going to throw your family into jail. Isn't that absurd? I mean, I remember reading Charles Dickens and thinking about debtor's prison. Remember? And the absurdity of it. You go to prison where you can't work until you get enough money to pay your debts. Does that make sense? How absurd is that? Isn't that absurd? And yet, that was the practice for many, 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 many centuries. It was in the Old Testament. It was at the time of Jesus. And it was in the time of Dickens. You would go to jail until you paid your debts. I mean, he sends them away to be tortured until he could pay his debts. Isn't that a death sentence? Isn't that life? I mean, that was what, I mean, this ruler was going to send his family away until he could come up with billions of dollars to pay him back. And he's forgiven those billions of dollars. And he goes after a guy for what in modern times would be probably about $5,000. And literally chokes him and says, pay me back what you owe me. Now, I often think to myself, maybe he was so adamant because he did not want to have to owe the master. And so he was going to go and find every single person that owed him money, and he was going to get it so he could pay him back so he wouldn't have to be grateful. How many of us have wanted to help God out on the grace side? Really? No? You don't? I mean, how many of us really, truly want to be able to say, I did it my way? Yeah, we do. It's our human sinful nature that wants somehow to help God out. You know, well, you forgave me all my sins. Well, I'm gonna earn forgiveness, God. I'm gonna show you that I was worthy of it. I'm gonna help you out. Then it goes from being mercy, which is undeserved mercy, to being what? Deserved mercy. There's something really crazy about human beings that we want deserve mercy rather than deserve mercy, right? It's our human nature. It's the way of our DNA. And so it makes sense that this guy wanted to get his money from all of the people who owed him so that maybe he could give something back and not have to feel totally, totally thankful for the mercy that has been shown. It sounds funny, but I'm telling you, there are people out there that one of the reasons they can't accept our understanding of grace is because they cannot accept that they can have something without doing something. We do. But the proof would have been if he would have forgiven the ones who owed him money because of a thankful heart. He lived out that forgiveness by going and forgiving him. That's why the other servants are so appalled. You notice who narked on him? Who was the tattletale? It wasn't the servant that got choked. It was the other, the fellow workers who were in line to pay back the master, who every time they went into the master told them about this thing they saw in line. Isn't it? That's what the Bible says. Jesus said it was the fellow workers because they were appalled at the lack of faithfulness and the lack of mercy shown by this servant who had been shown such an abundant amount of mercy. So I would agree with you, Joe. But it's got to come from our good works, come from a sense of thankfulness for who we are and that we belong to God rather than trying to earn God's favor. And that is so difficult for us on this side of heaven to do. I'm telling you that unless we're conscious of it, unless we strive after, unless we follow it each and every day, that's why I believe that Simon Peter, when he comes to ask this question of Jesus, he asks, you know, how many times should I forgive my brother? Because in Matthew 18, by the way, if you ever find yourself in a time when you don't have a gazillion things to do, one of the chapters I suggest you read in the Bible, if you're not doing a regular devotional program or if you have extra time, is Matthew 18. Because that is loaded with really practical things for the church. For example, how we should deal with one another. If we have a problem with someone, we should bring it to them, not to everybody else. And how we should deal with it, you know, with elders and so on. But what I find fascinating is he starts that chapter by saying that we're supposed to forgive our brother. We're supposed to find ways to reconcile and forgive one another. And then he goes on, and you can see Peter's bothered by this, probably because he heard way back in chapter 6 about forgive us our sins or our debts or our trespasses as we forgive those who sin or have debts or trespasses against us. And it's probably been bothering him because it sounds to me like Peter's got something in his past that's gnawing at him. Some of us understand that, right? Remember what I said? Things are bothering him. So he comes to Jesus with a very honest question. How many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Now, again, I want you to understand something that we don't understand in our culture, is to Hebrew people, numbers had significance. Now, if a rabbi was standing up here talking to you, he would be expecting you to understand something. The number 3 is God's number. The number 4 is the world's number. When you add them together, you have the complete understanding of heaven and earth together, which is what? 3 plus 4 equals 7. Good. Whew. I was worried. 7 is the number of completeness. So when Peter asks, you know, well, forgive my brother. Jesus says, he basically asks 7 times, and Jesus says, no, I tell you, 70 times 7. So the number of completeness times the number of completeness, 400, which is 49, times 10, which is the ultimate number of total completeness. That's why when we see in Revelation for 1,000 for the millennium, what's that? That's 10 cubed. Which 3 being the number for God is the ultimate number of completeness. 1,000. So he's saying to this poor guy who's trying to figure out, okay, if I forgave my brother 7 times 7, that's 49 times, he's probably calculating in his head, how many times did I forgive him? Pardon me? Yeah, then he throws on the 10 and you go, well, okay, now he's thinking in his head, did I do it 490 times? But what is Jesus really saying if you're coming from a Hebrew perspective? As many times as he asks. I mean, that is just remarkable. As many times as he asks to be forgiven, you should forgive him. Doesn't that consistent with what we just prayed? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, understanding that God will forgive us all of our sins so that we can spend eternity with him. Brothers and sisters, my challenge for you today is to know that you belong to God. Everyone belongs to God. And that is the desire that he has for our lives, is that we communicate with every single solitary person we come across to let them know that they belong to God. Doesn't mean everybody's going to go to heaven, because you can belong to some, you can belong to a family and walk away from it, right? But may we not let anyone in our relationships, in our sphere of influence, not understand that they belong to God, that Jesus died for them, that he loves them, and that he has the mercy that is way beyond our understanding, and he wants to forgive them all of their sins. That our God is not limited to forgiving us like we forgive others. And praise be to God for that. Amen? That our God is not limited to forgiving us by the standard that we forgive others. I'll tell you what this means, though. And this is from many years of experience as a chaplain and as a pastor. Is if we don't get to the point where we're willing to forgive others as God forgives us, then we will never experience the power of that forgiveness as we ought to. That makes sense? We will never experience the joy of knowing that we are completely 100% forgiven. We will never understand true grace unless we are at a place where we forgive people. And the hardest thing for me that I learned over my experience has been that it doesn't matter whether they ask for forgiveness. There is a place where we pray that they would ask, and in Jesus' example, those servants asked for forgiveness, both of them. So we would hope and pray that someone would come to us with a repentant heart. But I'm telling you, in our relationship up, we have got to get to a point where we forgive them even if they don't ask for forgiveness. So that does not mean that they're released from what they should be asking us for forgiveness. But I'm telling you, in your relationship with God, you need to get to a point where you let that go. Because if they're still trespassing on your heart is going to be heavy, and you're not going to experience the joy that the Lord wants for you in your life. If you can't get to a place where you are letting these things go, and I'm telling you, I'm not there yet. There are still people that got both feet planted, and they're trespassing. Okay? But I know that if I want the relationship up with the Lord that he wants to have with me, that I have got to strive to get to a place where by the power of his Holy Spirit, I can say, I forgive them. Just like Jesus on the cross. Didn't he set a great example? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing as they're banging nails into him. Until we get to a point of saying, okay, I forgive them. And this is an everyday journey. This is why praying the Lord's Prayer in the morning, at noon, and at night is a good practice. If we spend the time thinking about each of these petitions, because I'll tell you something, we will benefit, and I have experienced this, and I hope you will, I hope all of us will, is I have experienced this where we let these things go, where we truly let these things go, where we have a clean property, where we've let these things go and we say, okay, Lord, I can't do anything about it. I pray that they will eventually understand. I pray, Lord, but I got to let these things go because I need a right relationship with you. And we let them go and we understand grace. And I don't know how you get through that without kind of tearing up, because I have difficulty with it. But understand grace. Understand the love of the Father for us. To understand what Joseph understood when he wept when his brothers tried to convince him that they ought to be forgiven again. Where we understand the mercy of the Father to us. And we live lives that show that same mercy, undeserved as it may be, to others. Do you think we could impact the world if we showed people undeserved mercy? I think so. If we could even live a portion of the grace that we've received out in our lives, do you not think that the world would be impacted? I believe it would. That's my challenge for you. My challenge for you is to ponder this petition throughout this week. To ponder what it means that we are so thankful that God doesn't forgive us based upon our ability to forgive others. That we are so thankful that he is that merciful ruler that forgave billions of dollars. That we would not be like the unmerciful servant who went after someone for a petty amount of money. But that we would live lives of thankfulness and praise, living out the grace and mercy that we have received from a God who loved us so much to die on the cross for each one of us. He's won the victory, and he desperately wants people to know that he loves them and that he's done everything necessary to bring them into a right relationship with him. We belong to him. The people that we come across each and every day belong to him. And he desperately wants to be in relationship with them so they can trust in him, believe in him, and become more like him each and every day.